Good morning, everyone. It is lovely to have you here in the building, but also a very warm welcome to those this morning who are watching online from the comfort of their homes with the heating on and probably a big mug of tea. But you're very welcome to our service this morning on the second Sunday of Christmas. A sentence of scripture this morning from 1 Peter chapter 5. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast in faith. We come this morning to celebrate Epiphany as we look at the wise men who on that very first Christmas followed the star that would lead them to the hope not just of their time, but the hope of our time as well. We come to a time in our service of confession. And so we say together, Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done wrong in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And may the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our appointed psalm for today is Psalm 72, and it's verses 1 to 7 and then verses 10 to 15. So we're going to say this alternate verse, so I will start with the first verse. Give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the son of a king. Then shall he judge your people righteously and your poor with justice. May the mountains bring forth peace and the little hills righteousness for his people. May he defend the poor among the people, deliver the children of the needy and crush the oppressor. May he live as long as the sun and moon endure, from one generation to another. May he come down like rain upon the mown grass, like stars. In his time shall righteousness flourish and abundance of peace, till the moon shall be no more. The kings of Tarshish and of all the isles shall pay tribute. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall bring gifts. All kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall do him service. For he shall deliver the poor that cry out, the needy and those who have no helper. He shall have pity on the weak and poor. He shall preserve the lives of the needy. He shall redeem their lives from oppression and violence, and dear shall their blood be in sight. Long may he live. Unto him may be given gold from Sheba, may prayer be made for him continually, and may they bless him all the day long. We've come to that point in our service where we have a little talk for our kids. Now I know there's no children here, but I know that there is some big kids here today. And all the kids watching at home. So I want you to tell me, what is this? Anybody shout it out? Anybody know what it is? A light bulb. Yes, it's a light bulb. Have you ever heard of a light bulb moment? Of having a light bulb moment? All of a sudden you have some great ideas or real inspiration to go and do something. Or maybe you've been watching a cartoon, maybe you've been watching a movie or something on TV, and all of a sudden the character has a light bulb moment and there's a little picture that'll come up, hopefully on the screen in a little minute. There's a little picture that'll come up that somebody will have a light bulb moment, something like that. And that signals that they have a great idea, that they are about to do something. Has this ever happened to you? Have you ever had a really good idea? Maybe you have at some point, but maybe a light bulb hasn't come atop of your head whenever you've had a really good idea. But sometimes we have what we call epiphanies in life, and they come to us as light bulb moments, much like the kind that you see on that cartoon character. But when we talk about epiphany today, it's not about these light bulb moments. It's all to do with Christmas. You see, Christmas isn't over. The presents may have been unwrapped. The turkey may have been ate. We may have seen some of our family members, but Christmas isn't over. You see, Christmas is only, Christmas Day is the beginning of Christmas. It's the beginning of the 12 days of Christmas. And today we celebrate Epiphany, one of those days of Christmas. And at Epiphany, we celebrate the wise men, and we sometimes call them Magi. And they followed the bright star that led them to Jesus. And they brought three gifts with them, didn't they? They brought gold, which was the gift that you would give to a king. They brought frankincense, which whenever you burn it will remind you a representation of prayer. And they brought myrrh, that was a sign that the Messiah one day would eventually die on the cross. You see, Epiphany comes from the Greek word to reveal. And God revealed Jesus to us by leading the wise men to the star that led them to Jesus. As it is when a baby Jesus was revealed to the whole world. So the next time that you have a light bulb moment, or that you have a really good idea, if you have an epiphany, just you remember that what we celebrate at Epiphany, we celebrate the wise men who followed the star and led us to the hope of our world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Epiphany. We thank you for all our celebrations around Christmas. And we thank you that you are at the centre. So as we look today at what Epiphany means, we pray that whenever we get a really big and bright idea, that you would remind us of the wise men that you chose and how you revealed Jesus to the world. Amen. Our reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. And a bit like last week, we are going to say this together. Now, because of my eyesight, I'm going to have to turn here and say it. So we are going to say this together. We say together, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard that, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the peoples, chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them to where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for this child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. As we turn to God's word, let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, we pray that we would read it afresh, that we would digest it and not only hear from it this day, but let it transform us from the inside out. So Father, we pray that you would open our ears to hear you, open our eyes to see you, and may your spirit dwell among us now. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a story told of a man named Tom. And Tom had this problem that he was always late to work. He always slept in, no matter how many alarm clocks that Tom set, he always slept in and was late to work. And as you can imagine, his boss was a little bit cross with him, so much so that he actually threatened to give him the sack where Tom would have no job. So Tom decided to go to the doctor and asked for some help. And the doctor gave him a medicine to take. So before Tom went to bed, he took his medicine, and Tom, for the first time in his whole life, had slept so well that he woke up and beat his morning alarm by 2 hours. It had never happened before. So he had a nice leisurely breakfast, and he took a nice slow walk, and then he got in the car and he went to work. And very cheerfully he came up to his boss and he said, "Boss, the doctor's medicine actually worked." And the boss said, "That's all fine, Tom, but where were you yesterday?" You see, Tom was late to work, but yet this epiphany reading, the reading that is appointed for today, whenever we read it, sometimes we think, that's a bit late. This reading should have happened a couple of weeks ago. It almost feels like we're turning up a bit late to the party. But actually, there's something in this. We celebrate at Christmas Jesus, the baby born in the manger. But today, at Epiphany, we celebrate the wise men, the Magi. We want to ask you a question. What is your favourite Christmas carol? Do you have a favourite Christmas carol? Anybody? O Little Town of Bethlehem. I love Silent Night. But is anybody's favourite Christmas carol We Three Kings? No? Well, if you're watching at home, and it is, I apologise because I'm about to ruin it for you. You see, the Christmas carol We Three Kings is inaccurate. How many wise men were there? We don't know, yeah, but this carol says that there was three, but yet in Matthew, he doesn't provide detail. He just says that in chapter 2, verse 1, that Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. He doesn't say how many, but yet the plural suggests that there was more than one, but we don't know how many. There could have been two. There could have been 20. We just don't know. So how do we get the number three? Well, the tradition comes from the three gifts that were given. But it's kind of illogical, because if I get three gifts, I could get all three gifts from Daniel. It doesn't mean that there's three givers for each gift. So in a way, the carol is flawed. So I'm sorry to ruin your favourite Christmas carol if We Three Kings is your favourite. Now Matthew here in chapter 2 directs us to kings, not to three kings, but to two kings. Matthew wants us to note King Herod and King Jesus, two kings Matthew brings to our attention. We want to challenge you this morning. Do you want a madman as a king, or do you want a Messiah as a king? Do you want a man who ordered the massacre of innocent children, or a man who would open his arms to all the children and lay down his life for them? Who do you want, the big bad wolf or the shepherd king? I don't know if you are into football, but there has certainly been a lot of football watched in our house over Christmas. Now, I come from a house where my husband is a Liverpool supporter. Any Liverpool supporters here today? A couple? Okay, there's probably some more at home. Some would say that Liverpool being the champions, that their greatness is falling after losing their past two matches. Now, I know that I am getting a very stern look from home whenever I get back. But some would say that their greatness is falling just because they've lost two matches. And Herod the Great, as he was called, lost his greatness because Jesus, the King of Heaven, increased his. We have two kings this morning, but we have three choices to make. There is Herod the King, the Roman-appointed king of the Jews. And then there is Jesus, the appointed king of kings. Three choices, three possible responses that we can have to this king of kings. We can choose indifference, we can choose hostility, or we can choose to worship. So indifference, firstly. This choice was made by the Jewish leaders. You see, this choice says we know he existed, but we don't want to do anything about it. Have you ever watched that quiz program on TV, The Chase? Yeah, you may. There's a little picture on the screen. You may recognise some of the chasers. I love watching this show. Although I get most of the questions wrong, I love watching it as I'm preparing dinner. And you'll find sometimes on The Chase that they will get biblical questions, or they'll get questions about religion or Christianity or any religion or faith in the world. And they're always able to answer them right. Have you noticed that? They're always able to answer them right. But that's it. Then they move on. There's nothing else to it. There's nothing more. They know the question, but you never find out whether they live that question out, whether they actually believe. They just know. They know that Jesus was born. They know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. They know his mother was Mary. They know he did miracles. They know that he died on the cross and he rose from the dead. People know all this, but sometimes they just don't care. And actually, there can be a lot of people like that within the church. That they come to church on a Sunday and they know that Jesus died for them. But once they exit that door, nothing really changes. They just know that it happened. They're just indifferent to what was actually done for them. But be assured that Jesus is not indifferent to us. Secondly is hostility. So we can choose indifference like the scribes, the chief priests, and all of Jerusalem, or we can be like King Herod and we can choose hostility. We've seen that debate many times in newspapers and maybe even in conversations, the debate of science versus religion. Whenever I was in high school, it was on the curriculum that you had to be taught some form of religious education. Now, all the religious education teachers in my school tended to also teach another subject that was their main subject. And my teacher for religious education one year was a science teacher who had absolutely no background in religion, who had no idea what the Christian faith believed in or what it meant. And there were quite a few in the class from different religions and especially from Christianity. And in our religious education class, she tried to teach us about the big black hole, about how everything just appeared. She tried to teach us different things that we necessarily wouldn't follow along with in our Christian faith. and a lot of us who were Christians in the class tried to prove her wrong, but she was set in being really hostile towards the Christian religion and all those who believed in it. There is someone who once wrote, "If God doesn't exist, or if Jesus wasn't the Son of God, why make a big fuss? Why write a book against religion? People have believed in far crazier things than Christianity. Why do people attack the faith that has thus far produced some of the world's greatest scientists and mathematicians like Newton and Pascal?" But then I remember that an intelligent person only attacks what he knows to be a real threat in his way of thinking and his way of living. You see, Jesus is a great threat. He was a great threat to Herod, and he's a great threat to many of those today who are hostile towards him. To anyone who thinks seriously enough about him, Jesus is a real threat. Indifference is illogical. It ignores the facts. And hostility is just ignoring all of that and actually having an emotion of rejecting what you know is right straight in front of you. Our third choice that we can make is to worship. So we can respond with indifference, hostility, or we can worship. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him." J.C. Ryle, a great theologian that many of you may recognise, says this about verse 11. "We read of no greater faith than this in the whole of the Bible." We read of no greater faith than this in the whole of the Bible. Have you ever watched the film The Titanic? Yeah? I want you to imagine for a minute, you know that scene whenever Rose, the boat is sinking and Rose is hanging on to this piece of wood with Jack. Imagine if Jack wasn't there. Imagine if it was the chef from the boat that hadn't been making all their meals. It wouldn't quite have the same impact, would it? That whole remarkable scene of them trying to save themselves. It's a swapping of roles almost. What makes this verse great is not what they did, but who done what. You see, if the chef had have saved Rose, it wouldn't have made for a great story. But who done what in this passage? Who worships the earthly king? Herod? No. Jewish scribes? No. Chief priests? No. All of the Jews in Jerusalem? No. But how about those Gentiles who are not from the promised land? Do they bow down in homage? Do they, in essence, kiss the feet of the Messiah? Yes. What is Matthew doing? He is being true to his message of his whole gospel, in that the king is for you. Wise men, you see, were Gentiles. They were sinners. And wise men in Greek translates as magos. Sometimes we refer to it as magi. And the English word that magi reminds us of maybe is magic or magicians. The English word reminds us of something resembling magic. And you may have seen in recent years that people are fascinated by Harry Potter. And Harry Potter is this character, he's a wizard that does all of this magic, it's books and it's made into movies. But in our Harry Potter world, we think that magic is something cool. But in the Bible, actually, the authors of the biblical books condemned it. It wasn't the thing to do. It wasn't a cool thing. In fact, it wasn't a biblical thing. But these magi were not the most spiritually pristine of people. The 6th of January, 12 days after Christmas, so that is Wednesday this week, marks Epiphany. The Greek word means to manifest or to show or to reveal. God showed himself in the person of Jesus to the Magi, to the Gentiles. And that is what this holiday is about. He didn't show himself to those who were high in class in society, to those who were pristine, but he showed himself to the lowest of society. I have a challenge for you whenever you go home today. Perhaps you still have your Christmas decorations up. And if you do, I want you to take a look at your nativity set. There is a picture of one coming up on the screen. So I want you to take a look at your nativity set. And I want you to remember that the nativity scene is full of scandal. You see, there's a teenage mum. There is a child conceived out of wedlock. There is dirty and irreligious shepherds. And then there's the Magi, a bunch of star-led magicians of sorts, Gentiles and sinners. What a scandalous scene. But yet, what a beautiful one as well. This scene shows clearly the good news of the gospel for all people, that even the least likely of those, God's love is available. So no matter what you have done in your life up to this point, no matter what you're still continuing to do, God's love is still available, all because of that scandalous yet beautiful nativity scene. So we all have a choice to make. Who is your king? Whose voice are you going to listen to? Will you be indifferent? Will you be hostile? Or will you bow down to the King of Kings with whatever gift you have and adoringly worship him just as the Magi once did? We now enter a time of prayer. Eternal God, you invited the wise men to represent the nations at the birth of your Son. So call the nations now to hear that invitation afresh and to come not just to bring gifts, but to receive the gift of peace from the Prince of Peace. God of health and wholeness, we thank you for the ministry of Jesus to the sick. We pray with thankfulness for all those who work in healthcare. We pray that in this difficult season that they would be sustained and encouraged in the tasks that they undertake. May we never take them for granted. We bring before you now all whom we know are sick. We pray that according to your will, you would bring healing and by your Spirit be close to them now. Lord of life and death, we pray for all of those who are grieving. We pray knowing that you catch every tear and that you will bring comfort. We pray specifically for those who find this time of year difficult. We give thanks that although our circumstances change, that you are the same God who has promised to be with us until the very end. Ever-loving God, we thank you for the place we call home. Bless our homes, we pray, that they would become places of warmth and love. We think of those who have no place to call home. We pray for charities and organisations who seek to help the homeless, that in the midst of this cold season, that they would know you as their provider. As your people, when we see others in need, equip us to outstretch our arms and provide for those in need. God of mercy and grace, nothing is hidden from you. You know that our lives and the once perfect world you created can be a messy place. We thank you that amidst this pandemic, that when we are sometimes scared, that you are not. That when we are afraid, you comfort. Lord, many are excited for a new year and to say goodbye to 2020. But we know that this pandemic is far from over. Help us as your people to be the light in a darkened world. Remind us of the hope that you provided that first Christmas, and help us to declare that same hope for your world today. As we read and watch news articles daily, prompt us when hearing of figures and statistics to pray. For behind every number is a family who have lost a loved one. A collect for today. O God, who by the leading of a star manifested your only Son to the peoples of the earth, mercifully grant that we who know you now by faith may at last behold your glory face to face through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we pray together the prayer our Father once taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. As we end our service this morning, there are just a few short announcements. Small Steps, our service of morning prayer on a Tuesday morning, starts back this Tuesday, the 5th of January, I was about to say December, the 5th of January at 10 a.m. And our Derry Volgey Youth, they will be returning to their online sessions from the 15th of January, but there will be some communication going out to parents during the week about what's going to be happening this term. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.